LUBA first.
And then the appeal.
Then the Court of Appeals.
Wow, probably so it's LUBA. A land use action.
Well, probably, yeah, LUBA.
Yes. Since it hasn't happened before.
You ready? Hey, the Portland City Council is now meeting as the Budget Committee of the Portland Development Commission. Please call the roll.
Mayor Potter?
Here.
Commissioner Adams?
Here.
Commissioner Leonard?
Here.
Commissioner Saltzman?
Thank you. The first order of events is for Bruce Warner and Keith Winkoski to give us an overview of how we proceed from here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For those of you in the audience have an agenda, you can see what we're talking about right now. Just going through the agenda, wanted to point out the first thing we thought we'd do is start up where we left off in the review of the urban renewal areas. We have three left to go, and Keith and Tony can go through that very quickly. We hope in about 20 minutes. The next item, what we wanted to do, and we gave you a list of the questions that were follow-up from the last meeting. We'd like to go through those, make sure we provide you answers to those. And then I think we're, based on that, ready to actually talk about some of the changes I know that you're interested into the budget. First off, we talked about some of the changes in Central East Side that just related to projects. We probably need to do that for the other areas. But then there was also discussion about, again, the general fund and how to true the general fund up with the mayor's proposal. We actually have the numbers to substantiate that in the backup there. And then there were a couple questions on the Burnside Cooch project on the east side and the Burnside Cooch couplet and streetcar engineering on the west side. So we're prepared to talk about those. We'll get into those a little bit more detail. We did also provide opportunities for the public to testify again. Again, that's up to the committee. You did provide that opportunity yesterday, so I don't believe you have to offer that today, but we wanted to make sure that was there if you wanted to make that opportunity available. And then finally, the last agenda item is if you're feeling comfortable, you can move forward. You can defer action, as I think was talked about last time, on the budget. We can be ready to go after the city budget is considered, so we have some clarity on, I think, the general fund is probably the biggest unknown. So that's the general flow of things. If that's acceptable, I just turn it right over to Keith and Tony.
So what is the difference between the general fund amount you have assumed to build in your budget from us and where we're at currently in the proposed? Is there an amount?
There is. Yeah.
It's approximately $2.2 million.
Difference.
So just, again, for the benefit of the audience, I believe the budget work group said it should be about $5.3 million, and there's actually $3.1 million in existing.
So is that 2.2 all general fund dollars?
Yes.
From us, or is there other sources?
No, that's general
fund. It's all general fund.
And it's, I think it's one-time general fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. Keith.
Okay. Keith Witkowski, Government Relations, Portland Development Commission. So what I'm going to do real quickly is walk through the three remaining urban renewal areas that we didn't get to yesterday. This being South Park Blocks, Downtown Waterfront, and the River District. So with that, we'll go to the PowerPoint. South Park Blocks, again, it's a district that's located kind of on the southern end of town along I-405 near PSU in the Cultural District. It's a district that was created in 1985, and this and Downtown Waterfront are two districts that will have their last date to issue debt come and go this year based on recommendations from an urban renewal advisory group, as well as these are actions that will also go through our board and through the city council. In terms of the flow of property taxes, this is something we talked about yesterday, trying to kind of educate everybody how these districts work as we move through them. With South Park Block, since it was a district that was around before 1997, you've got basically four different layers to the cake. You've got the green layer, which is the frozen base. And what that means is in 1985, about $8.1 million in property taxes were being generated from this specific geographic area. So when the urban renewal area was created, those resources continue to flow to the city, the county, and other jurisdictions that issue and levy property taxes in the city of Portland. Since that time, there was also a decision in 1997, 1998 to cap the amount of property taxes that flow to PDC for investment, and that amount is about $5.4 million. So that's what we receive each year for our projects and programs. We also receive about $2 million from the special levy. And again, that was this citywide $15 million levy that was broken out among four or five urban renewal areas to provide them with sufficient funds to carry out the community's plans, whereby if that levy was not kind of enacted and authorized by the council back then, given the property tax measures, these districts would have had a harder time accomplishing their objectives. The area in blue on this...
I have a question about the levy. Is the levy tied to the TIF money, or is that an independent source that is levied against the property owners of the South Waterfront and the other three areas?
It's an independent source.
Independent
correct?
Source.
Yeah.
So this is an additional amount that they would be paying as opposed to just giving up any of their TIF money.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The area in blue on this... More questions? Okay. The area in blue on this slide shows in 07-08 the amount of property taxes that were released to the city, the county, education, and other jurisdictions, that it being about $9.35 million. And that amount grows each year. And we talked about it yesterday and for the benefit of the guests here today, that, for example, if a new project that was valued at about $200 million was built in the South Park Blocks area next year, it would generate about $3.5 to $4 million in property taxes, and all of that money would go to taxing jurisdictions. None of it would go to PDC because our amount is fixed. The next slide will illustrate this point, where you see in the purple that over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, our fixed amount has always varied between about $5.2, $5.4 million. The special share of special levy has varied between $1.6 and $2 million. And let's go now to some of the details on the district and the priorities. Again, it was established in 1985. It's 161 acres. It has a last date to issue debt of July 2008, and that date is going to come and go this summer without being extended. Council next week will be voting on a bond issuance for the district, and it'll be basically the final set of bonds for the final set of projects. And the district has about $20.3 million to invest in 08-09, and that's essentially, I believe, I don't have it right in front of me, that's about all the money it has to invest in total over the next few years, correct?
Yeah, it's gone up a little bit based on the timing of the bond sale.
Okay.
We thought it was.
Okay. But again, in this area of the city, we've got the following issues that we're going to have to look at over the next year and a half. Clearly, the closeout strategy. And we've talked about, with this latest bond issuance, where should the resources go? This district has probably the largest amount of low-income and affordable housing of anywhere in the downtown, downtown being, you know, considered inside the I-405 loop. And what we're going to be doing is putting a lot of money into preserving those units, to making sure that some of the expiring Section 8 projects we don't lose the capacity and the number of housing units, low-income units in those areas. So we're going to be investing in those buildings, as well as there's investments in Portland State University, the Park Block 5, which this was the block that council heard about a week or so ago, the $2 million donation by Jordan Snitzer to help build out the park. We're involved in that project as well. There's also resources to go to helping some of the retail businesses and retail investments in the area, because the geography of the district brings it into the retail core. And one of the conversations over the next year or so is we begin to explore the potential geography of a new downtown urban renewal area will be what parts of South Park Blocks that are currently in the South Park Blocks maybe need to be part of a new district. And kind of the assumptions behind that would be if there's areas in that district that are going to need investment and are kind of clearly blighted, we're going to need to think about removing those and putting them into some kind of a newer district that may, you know, run the edges of the west side of the downtown and come through PSU and come into the retail areas. So are there any questions on South Park Blocks? Okay, let's go to Downtown Waterfront. Downtown Waterfront, this is our oldest urban renewal area. It was created in 1974. Flow of property taxes in 07-08 reflect a frozen base of $1.5 million. So back in, you know, long time ago, the amount of property taxes generated from that 279 acres was about $1.5 million. PDC is receiving about $7.3 million in property taxes for investment in 07-08. It also, you'll notice, is taking a large amount of the special levy, $7.5 million, which is about half of the total special levy that's available. But it also releases over $11 million to other property, to other taxing jurisdictions. Looking at the last 4 or 5 years, again, you see these numbers stable because our resources are fixed. The only thing that really fluctuates is decisions on where the special levy is allocated, and this district's always received about $7 to $7.5 million. This district had a last date to issue debt of April 2008. You know, the debt was approved and issued by City Council back in late March. So what this district is doing right now is it'll invest those final bond proceeds, and then it's on a path to pay down all of its debt by 2024. And then what that means is, I want to go back to this other slide quickly, that in 2024, when the debt's paid off, the $7.3 million that PDC receives will start going back to city, county, education, and other districts. The acreage in this district, the 279 acreage, goes back into what we have in terms of the total amount of available acreage for urban renewal. But that does not occur until all the debt's paid off. So we're looking at another, 16 years or so. For 2008-2009, it's got about a $19-20 million budget. What you'll be seeing and are seeing in our proposed budget is a lot of that investment is focused in the area of Ankeny-Burnside. A lot of the assistance related to Saturday Market, to Waterfront Park, in the amendments that were approved, and from some of the testimony yesterday, you heard there's also some really important blocks actually down in the vicinity of PDC around 4th and Davis, 4th and Cooch, to take some surface lots and some other properties and turn them into something that's more on the lines of a mixed-use project with the Awaja Maya.
Very good.
Thank you. So
say that three times.
I'm not.
Say it backwards once. But the this district, it has been around a long time. I think the final push over the goal line is going to be really exciting, and it's going to leave a really good lasting impression on Old Town Chinatown. What we're also doing with this district is shifting a number of the acres into the River District, particularly in Old Town Chinatown, because clearly that area is going to continue to need investment. So let's go to the river.
I'd like to ask a question. Sure, it's something that I meant to ask yesterday. Do you have the age or the date that these came into creation so we know exactly how old these are?
Yeah, on this slide in the presentation, if you look at – here, I've actually got an extra copy too.
Can you say 1974?
This was 1974. See the area in orange, Mayor, on that particular
piece? That's your left.
Okay.
The very top. There you go. Yeah. It's the initial.
So it's where it says EST.1974.
Mm-hmm.
So for each one of the urban renewal areas on that slide – it identifies the date for every URA.
Thank you.
When it came into being. And then, I'm sorry, I didn't ask whether there are any other questions for Downtown Waterfront. Okay, we'll move to River District. So again, River District is a district that was created in 1998. It has seen a tremendous amount, as everybody knows, growth in property taxes that are being generated within it. We're at 7.7 when it was created, and now in total it's close to 30 million, with about 22.3 of that coming to PDC. And with this district, since it was created after 1998, and with all new districts, like if you're going to create a new downtown district, you're going to create a district in Coley or whatever it might be in the next couple of years, in those situations, all of the growth above that base amount flows to PDC for investment. And the reason it was created that way by the legislature is because under some of the new laws, we have a cap on how much we can spend, a maximum indebtedness. So that's why they were saying, you can collect all the growth, but now you've got a cap in terms of how much you can spend.
That's measure 50?
Yeah. It's like a combination of 47 and 50. So let's look at the River District in terms of over the last 4 years, it's grown from $9.3 million up to 22 or $20.2 million. So significant growth. The growth over the next couple of years is probably going to level off a little bit with the economy. But, you know, this was a huge topic with the Urban Renewal Advisory Group when they were trying to decide on what do you do with River District. And, you know, in some lines of thought, you could say this district is very successful. And because it's so successful, we should allow it to lapse, we should pay back the debt, and we should move on. But given when people looked at the district and said it is successful, but there's a way that we can capture the success and share it among all the parties that are interested, particularly being the city and the county, that we need to continue it and we need to take the indebtedness and increase it further above the 225. We'll be coming to City Council on June 18th and June 25th for a hearing on a plan amendment to River District that extends the date by 1 year. So it extends it from October 2020 to 2021. It's going to take the maximum indebtedness of $225 million and increase it by something like an addition up to $530 or $560 million. And you're going to see a lot of projects associated with that. And you're going to see projects that are supportive of the county. And we met with the county a few weeks ago, and they were very supportive of the actions and supportive of the investments. You're going to see a lot of the priorities of City Council reflected in that amendment as well. You're going to see the Resource Access Center. You're going to see a streetcar. And you're going to see some really amazing projects that will really kind of shape the future with things like the Central Post Office. And we can talk about that in the budget, but I wanted to try and give a little bit of a highlight. So for 08-09, there's $47.5 million that is available for projects and programs. We've talked about there's a lot of large-scale infrastructure requests and a lot of large-scale infrastructure needs. One of the things that is not currently in the 08-09 budget, because it isn't, I don't believe it's needed yet, but it's certainly going to be a topic, is the Burnside-Cooch couplet on the west side and a possible extension of the streetcar as well through the area. I talked about the Central Post Office, 15 acres of land where we've seen more progress in the last 8 months than we'd seen in the previous 18 years in terms of encouraging the post office to look for a better location so that we can work with City Council and with the community to determine essentially a reuse redevelopment plan for that area. There's a lot of affordable housing investments that are occurring, as well as opportunities to have workforce housing as well, so you can have the full spectrum, not just the really low income and the really high income. And then, as I mentioned before, there's, you know, $28 million for a homeless resource access center. So that is the end of the urban renewal area presentations. We can take questions on River District.
Where is it in this budget, the allocation for the David Douglas School?
Yeah, it does. It's got, there's $19 million coming out of this urban renewal area. When we were with the budget work group that you were on in February, when we looked at it, we looked at those payments, given the cash flow available, that they would begin to become available, I believe, in 2012, 2013, and the bulk of it would be from those years to 2015-16, where they could get the full $19 million. I think there's $400,000 available, maybe a little bit early on, to help with some of the soft cost and pre-development costs.
In this budget or the next?
Let me turn to the right page.
Yeah, on page 113, project number 60026.
What is it again?
0026, River District, Satellite Districts.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. Fiscal year 11.
So 4.5 forecast, 500,000. But in the current budget, nothing?
Nothing. Not for 08-09.
Right. That was something we discussed in February when we had the cash flow and it was so tight that we could make the commitment and do the satellite and provide the resources, but we knew it was going to take a little bit while for them to actually get from this district to David Douglas.
So in this district, with the Flanders Street crossing not going forward, that gives us some headroom to shift some money to do the pre-planning for the couplet. And I think PDOT needs 1.1, is that correct?
That's what we've heard. Yeah, there is that ability.
So I'd like to do that.
Is that in this budget?
There's Do you want to go ahead?
Well, I say it's not in the budget you see here, but it will be in a discussion when we get to the suggested changes. That'll be
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. You're jumping ahead. But the question
no, because that's what we, I mean, that's the purpose of this today, because to look at when it was.
So the district plan comes to us on the 25th. The revised River District plan comes to us on June 25th, correct?
Right.
Okay. And that's where we have the discussion about satellite. That's where we codified our decision on the satellite district and all the other line items within the proposed changes to the URA.
Associated with the amendment, I mean, I want to be clear. The in terms of the Burnside-Cooch pre-engineering piece, we'll put that in today. That's the purpose of this group.
Okay.
On the 25th,
we will be. Next budget year,
08-09. Yes. And so that's going to be done today, and you'll see in some of these proposed changes it's included.
Okay.
On the 25th, it's just the new plan amendment. So what we'll talk about is the list of projects that are associated with increasing indebtedness in one amendment. And then you'll see that the David Douglas amendment as a separate one as well that takes $19 million as well as the satellite extension piece.
This is budget issues. That's plan amendment.
Yes.
Okay. Complex.
So... if there's no more questions on that,
I guess I do have a question about Union Station, and if we're headed towards Block U for the homeless center, and Block U is the one immediately across the street from the bus station, or is it the one across the street from Union Station? I can't remember.
If I remember right, it's the one. It's a lot directly to the south of the Union Station,
actually,
Kitty Corner across from
Greyhound. The ramp to the Broadway Bridge. Right. As the ramp is going up, it's the one right there.
Yeah. So, are we? When last I sort of talked about this, there was talk about doing a master plan for sort of the Union Station area, and I can't remember if that got completed or not. But is that now? Is the future consideration of this area subsumed in the post office sort of discussion? I just want to get clear in my head about sort of the boxes of planning and.
Good afternoon, Peter Englander, Downtown Waterfront Urban Renewal Area Manager. Commissioner, it's a little bit of both. We're going to do some planning now to determine some a technical analysis about how we might incorporate some functions into Union Station and continue to look at what we're going to need to rehabilitate Union Station. We're going to do all of that work now. Later in the fiscal year, we'll start incorporating the results of that work into a larger redevelopment study that would also include the post office as well. So we're going to do some preliminary work to give us some information as to what the viabilities are for that facility. During that, we're also going to hopefully get to an answer of the long-term ownership of Union Station. So we're going to do some of that preliminary work sooner than later.
And if you had, so I'm going to ask about a series of projects, not because I'm promoting them. I just want to check in on status of your conversation with other advocates. So the public market, the public market discussion with PDC, is that anywhere in particular, or
come on, I can tell you what I know. And Peter,
go ahead.
We don't know that there's any site that's been selected for the market. We have some ideas in that area, and I know that the folks who are interested in promoting the public market are looking at a number of sites. And I know we're in constant contact with them, but I don't know the status of any decision-making. Peter, do you have...
I think you're exactly right, Bruce. We're keeping them very engaged in this, and I think they're keeping us engaged in what they're thinking as well. So they're part of any effort that we've got going on in this area.
And I'm not promoting any particular...
No, understood.
The other one is the 511 building in PNCA.
Yes.
And the adjacent potential redevelopment of that park block into... Is the current thinking to redevelop that into a park block? And has there been any discussions between PNCA and PDC on the 511 building?
There's been some preliminary discussions with PNCA and the Portland Development Commission. First, let me talk about the park block. That's owned by Parks. So that's already been transferred to Portland Parks. So we anticipate that at some point we'll have to discuss the funding of the conversion of that. Mm-hmm. It has also been discussed with Pacific Northwest College of the Arts that they may have some interest in that project as it relates to whatever they end up doing with their building. They will have at least a two and a half to three year waiting period before they even get access to that building, because the services that are currently in that building have to be relocated, and that's going on right now with the General Services Administration. Pacific Northwest College of the Arts is also going to be very interested about the redevelopment of Block R, which is another block that's owned by the Portland Development Commission just south of Block U, and that's a vacant block right now as well. So we have been talking with PNCA. They're starting to really get their teeth into the 511 building now that they've secured a plan for ownership of that building.
That parcel that was donated to the Park Bureau, wasn't that on condition that it remain a park?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's, and that's right. But they, let me be clear. I think Pacific Northwest College of the Arts may be interested in doing something underneath it, a la Park Block 5. I don't know whether they are or not, but I've heard that that's something that they want to consider as they look at the redevelopment of the 511 building.
And but there'd be, the surface, no restrictions for the, there'd be no restrictions for below the surface in terms of what we could use.
Not that I'm aware of.
So the other questions, I just want to make sure that I understand whether or not we've, whether or not we've got resources and interest. Comparing notes here. So the future, so the three big redevelopment opportunities in the central business district, Conway, Rose Quarter, and Post Office. I get a good sense of sort of where the Post Office is anchored in the budget. It sounds like the Conway discussion will come out of your study of potential new urban renewal districts, and it'll either be included or not. In terms of Rose Quarter's future, and it, do we have, what sort of is the agency looking at for future, determining sort of its future with the new old owner?
Yeah, good question. We have had conversations with the Blazers and Jay Allen, and I know that they are looking at hiring a group to help them look at redevelopment of that area. We, just because of the, you heard about the limitations of resources available in the convention center urban renewal area, what we've been looking at is focusing on some of our efforts on some of the things around the convention center, like Block 47 and 49, and the headquarters hotel have been the two major components. And then we also, as you know, sold a piece of ground to Mr. Weston to build another tower there. So I think part of our job is to get some 24/7 presence in that district, so there's people living and working in that area more than there are now. So that's how we've been working, and hopefully in synergy with the Blazers and Vulcan Development, if that's what you were looking for.
Yeah, that, no, that's helpful in terms of update on the activities. In terms of whether it's master planning or whatever other planning, seems like we've gone through a number of plans over the past 16 years. Sort of what's the status of, you know, looking at from the swath of the convention center through the Rose Garden, Memorial Coliseum, Blanchard, and then we own the Water Bureau and Transportation have yards and stuff under the freeways. And Eric, a couple years ago, talked about wanting to sort of take a look at that. I'm just wondering, beyond the individual project work is great, what sort of planning efforts will we do?
Well, I don't know where anybody from planning is here in the audience.
Master planning, yeah. PDC master planning.
But we are not doing any active master planning of that particular area right at the moment. Planning, as you know, is part of the Central City Plan. That's one of the areas that they want to take a look at. And again, we're trying to be opportunistic. If the the Blazers and Vulcan Development really want to move forward in something like that, we stand ready and willing to help. And I think, as you know, when we tried to woo Columbia Sportswear here, we thought the Blanchard site owned by the Portland Public Schools was an ideal location. And it was, I think, a very viable and a great opportunity. So those things are going to continue to come up. But the overall plan, we've been waiting for planning to actually come in and get a better look at that, to talk about some of the heights and the types of uses that could be there. But I also know that, as I said, Vulcan Development is getting ready to move forward on their own, I think, with some ideas. And we'll keep you posted as we know more information.
Did you say that was the completion of the URAs?
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
I have a question, and I raised it in the Central East Side, but really it applies to all of them, is that there are more projects than there are resources. And that in terms of how we set policy, the PDC sets policy, as to first things first. You know, I heard mentioned on the east side, central east side, that putting in the low-income housing would not generate the TIF that's needed to carry out some of the other projects. So that seems to be sort of a forced priority in terms of how we generate the money to pay for the other projects. Does that hold true in every all of the URAs, that there are things that in order to meet the TIF projections, that there are things that have to be done before other things, so that that helps sort of define what the priorities are? Or is it still pretty much free and open?
Well, Mayor, let me try to answer that. First off, the intent of the urban renewal plans that you see and approve are to set what are we trying to do in that district? And there's usually a list of the types of projects we want to undertake. What you're pointing out is the amount of revenue that we have available in any one year really depends on the generation of tax-producing private development in those districts. And we plan that very carefully with the Office of Management and Finance to plan the budgets that you see here today with the resources that are available. And in many districts, we've made a decision that we think infrastructure investments are the very things that we need to put in first to then permit development around them, similar to the investments we made in light rail in the interstate urban renewal area, or the Gateway and Lentz URAs, where we invested considerable dollars in the extension of light rail. And I think you're starting to see the benefits of that. Same way with the streetcar investment, I think, that the city did in the Central City and the Pearl. So we have to manage that very carefully, but I think our board is very cognizant of that. In order to be able to do what people want us to do in there, we have to balance that. And we have to make sure that the investments we make are not only the right investments for the future, but also that the urban renewal area is growing in a way to produce the revenues to get to all these priorities. The only other thing I would say, Mayor, is that if you look at this, I want to say there's the most obvious one where we've got a problem is the Central East Side. The growth in assessed value and resources is not kept up for a number of reasons with what the appetite is to fund projects. And I think that's one of the ones we've come up with a way, as you'll hear in a very short amount of time, about how to balance it for next fiscal year, the next upcoming fiscal year. But after that, we've got some serious problems. We've got to make some choices. We've got to find some additional sources of money, maybe even some bridge financing. But that's where we need to have some serious questions, because you asked the right questions. What are the priorities? And therefore, how does it fit in with the overall funding availability? And I think, first off, I hope I'm answering your question, but I think in this budget you'll see that we've done a very good job, with the exception, I think, of the Central East Side, in balancing the project needs and demands with the revenues. And for next year, we're okay. It's further out years is when we're in trouble in that particular urban renewal area.
Well, to follow up on that, I was also wondering if you actually have written criteria for a URA developed by the URA committee or anybody else that would sort of define the selection process.
I can't answer that. First off, the urban renewal plan, the plan that you approve, which establishes the types of projects we're to do, is the list of projects that we're to get to in that particular district, right? Now, in terms of timing of the projects, those are usually talked about in the urban renewal plan in terms of what we need to accomplish first to be able to move forward. But in many of these urban renewal areas, what you're finding is the projects that are budgeted for next year are the projects that are ready to go next year. In other words, they're the ones that have been worked and are actually ready to go. There's other projects which are much more speculative and need additional work, and those are the ones that are programmed for later years but are also included in our five-year forecast, as an example.
But as I understand what you're saying, you schedule those projects that are going to be completed as to which will generate TIF, which will allow more dollars to come in to do other projects. So you do a thoughtful kind of filtering of that with OMF staff?
Thank you. We do that ourselves, and we do it with OMF, because we're always looking to make sure that we have a balance, because if you build everything right up front that has no generation of increment, you've really put yourself in a hole. So thank you, yes.
Just going back and thumbing through your budgets and changes on each increment district. Will the five, I want to focus a little more on Willamette Industrial URA. I mean, will the $545,000 planned expenditures really produce increment? And if the commission wants flexibility about the future existence of that, do we really want to become indebted, therefore tying their hands and our hands in sort of future flexibility?
We thought about that a lot and had a lot of discussion about that in the budget work group. So first off, what you're seeing, again, just for the people in the audience that weren't here yesterday, the Willamette Industrial Area, it's been around for a while, but it's generating very little increment, is your point. Those dollars were programmed to go to our economic development programs to try to figure out solutions to the brownfield problems and the Superfund issues that are plaguing those properties. The discussion of the work group was maybe there's better ways to attack that. And so what I would submit to you, Commissioner, is that that amount of money, if we wanted to make a choice, for example, to eliminate that urban renewal area, we would have to figure out some way to relieve ourselves of that debt. And the good news is it's a very small amount now, but I think the committee made it clear to us we need to have an answer by the time we're here next year, whether we want to see that district remain in its current configuration, be reduced completely, or significant amounts reduced, and look at other ways to get to the brownfield issues, which is what we need to start generating increment.
I'm sorry, I didn't ask my question very precisely. Does the fact that we would be going into debt make it difficult for us to eliminate the district? Does the very act of going into debt based on increment?
Yeah. What I get our legal folks or the OMF folks, if they're in the audience, to come up here. But my answer would be that once you sell a bond, you have to figure out a way to pay those bonds back. So you either have to do it from resources generated in that district, but if you wanted to then eliminate that district, you have to figure out another source of revenue to pay that off to free up that land. And I think that's part of this analysis we'd be doing. But if you're uncomfortable with that, then right now I didn't think that was an impediment. David, do you have any comment on that one?
Well, we would need in some fashion to provide for the existing debt that the district has incurred. That doesn't mean there wouldn't be some flexibility to potentially reduce the size of the district as long as we complied with the bond covenants and there were still sufficient increment generated in order to service that debt.
Here's the answer. Yeah. Thank you.
Currently, we don't have any long-term debt in the district, and we don't plan to issue any long-term debt in the near future.
Never mind.
It's all on pay as you go basis right now.
I've been around long enough to know that when you issue long-term debt, it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It shows up here as a generic title to the line item. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
That's all.
Okay.
Would it be worthwhile to develop criteria? Because one of my concerns is, as the council has projects that we'd like to see developed, I think it's important that we can sort of set the expectations in the public's mind about when those will come to fruition. Otherwise, people may think, oh, Washburn Road Community Center, that'll be built next year. And so I think it's really important that we, and I don't know if that's part of the regular process of saying, you know, it's between these years. I know you can't precisely pin it down, but between these years that it would be completed. How, to me, that seems important in terms of public expectations to have some kind of vehicle to create that that awareness as well as expectation in people.
So, Mayor, what I will do is go back and talk with my commission on that. I'll guarantee you that they are very interested in that same issue and have been challenging us on that. But I don't think there's any formalized process is what you're suggesting. So I'll go back and see where we are and look at that one some more.
You know, it would be, I think, in terms of transparency, it would really help as far as letting people know what the process is and thus the expectation level is that before this, before nonprofit development occurs, that they're, in order to generate TIF money, we're going to have to do the infrastructure or certain other projects. So it would be helpful.
Thanks. Well, if I may suggest, why don't we talk about the proposed changes in the budget that gets back to where you started, Mr. Mayor, last meeting, and gets back to the basics in terms of some of the outstanding questions. So I think we want to go to the piece that we gave you. You have, I think it's bound in black. I think you have it in front of you. Would you, everybody yeah. else have that? There you go. That's it right there.
Yep.
Are you,
I have it.
This is mine.
Are you carrying this, Tony?
Sure.
Okay. Nice cover.
The package in before you is a collection of three different distinct appropriation reports and the associated supplemental changes to talk about specific changes to each urban renewal fund and other fund. So when you open up the package, you'll see three versions. Version one supplemental, which is part of that. Version two, and its supplemental piece. And then version three. Now the differences between the three versions, version one only includes the recommended changes from PDC staff to the proposed budget.
And that's what you saw yesterday.
Version 2 incorporates the mayor's proposed budget decisions to the general fund, along with all other PDC recommended changes. And finally, version 3 has all PDC staff recommended changes, the mayor's proposed budget for the general fund, but also takes a look at Central East Side and River District at specific project changes and how that looks in the five-year forecast for including different timing assumptions for the streetcar and Burnside Cooch projects. So I think we could proceed by looking at either the detailed changes just in version number one, the staff recommended changes, or we could skip that and go straight to version two, which includes the general fund changes for the proposed budget, the mayor's proposed budget.
So again, for the benefit of the committee and the audience, the version one is what you had yesterday. I went through in detail the Central East Side changes. These are mostly bookkeeping type of changes to reflect actually when project dollars are going to go out the door. So if we didn't spend it this year, we brought it forward into this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we think some project will slip another year, we've moved it out another year or adjusted based on the latest estimates. And in some cases, trued up, as I told you, dollars for planning. So I think these are fairly straightforward changes, but we'd be glad to go through them individually if you think you want to do that. But I just wanted to make sure you had those and understood those are suggestions that we would encourage the budget committee to consider no matter what you do. Those are ones that you should make.
Any changes in timing that would surprise stakeholders? Or any changes coming out of PDC staff that would surprise stakeholders?
Most of the changes, what we're looking at, a change between the 08-09 proposed budget and the approved budget, represent timing of projects, either moving dollars from the current fiscal year to next fiscal year for established projects and programs, or in some cases, moving dollars out of next year's proposed budget into future years based on project timing.
So I don't think so.
Most of those, the stakeholders know about the change in timing.
There's a few changes in a couple of URAs that are for increased funding for housing or homeownership projects and some of the neighborhood URAs.
So notwithstanding the budget note proposal I gave you all yesterday, that aside, there is still on the city budgeting process discussions, negotiations, some lack of agreement on the general fund allocation for PDC. So
that's the next version we'll get to. So we want to get through the kind of the housekeeping changes first, which
right.
was the first couple tabs. And then the next issue is the general fund. I just wanted to show you
okay.
that we have the budget changes in version two that would reflect the mayor's budget.
And I jumped ahead and
yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So
does that also include then the BHCD money?
The housing investment fund
yes.
changes? Yes.
Which version? One or two?
I think they're in.
I don't think we have that included in one of the versions here. That's the $490,000.
For the rental assistance?
Yes. No, this is the management of the reserve fund investment funds for the housing. So that I thought that was taken care of, but again, if it isn't, that is a line item needs to be.
We can incorporate that.
Okay.
And which versions is that?
We would incorporate to the version two. To the enterprise loans fund.
Yeah, so what are you saying? We forgot to put that one in here for because we were focused on the general fund.
I think that's important because that's part of the negotiation process, isn't it?
It is. And where are we at on that? Are we at that goes back to BHCD?
Actually, it's our discussions.
Okay, so still on our side, on our budget. That, which is kind of the point I was getting to, is I don't see how we can, notwithstanding whatever disagreements may exist that are not financial, make any recommendation today till we have more of an understanding on our side.
Understood.
Of some of those numbers.
So does that take into consideration in what you prepared for us? The variance between and where the city budget process, you know, the mayor's budget is proposed budget, but it's not going to be the final budget. So we need to ensure that whatever decisions we make aren't going to pose problems. I think you can, according to the TSCC, you can transfer up to 10% in one fund, correct?
Right.
But that, you know, some of these may exceed some of those amounts.
Well, that's not my point. My point is we don't have to make a decision today. The drop dead day is going to be closer to June 1st, that we have to have enough time for them to get the 20 days they need to process our recommendations and then get back to the PDC. So what
I think aside from the attorney issue, putting that to the side, I think that the main difference is in the numbers.
Right.
And so as we negotiate that, then they'll align. But my concern is that if it were to proceed through the TSCC, and the reason I think we should, as you suggested, hold off on that.
Okay.
So that that there's a closer alignment. We can always do some minor adjustments.
I'm sorry, I was just so used to us disagreeing. I assumed we weren't agreeing on that. So my bad.
So I'm hearing.
Now that we've passionately seen this agreement, let's move on.
Yeah. So if I've got this right, what I'm hearing is, and I want to make it clear from our perspective, we understood the numbers, the actual numbers from the city in terms of general fund and other resources. We can actually have a budget that's correct when we adopt it and it goes to TSCC. Yeah. So I understand your point entirely.
And this is the first time we've ever done this. So I don't think it's unusual. I mean, I don't think that you would ever find a time where this would be the best date to have this hearing. I would think in future years, it should be probably more closely coordinated. Right. In fact, I would suggest it would be after the city budget. Yeah. Then you would know what it is that we have. So that's just part of the learning process.
We're so efficient, we work faster than anybody else in the city. That's why we're here today.
You know, it seems like
that's what I was thinking.
In terms of the URAs, that we could get through some of this. And I don't know that there's such thing as a tentative approval for part of it, but I don't know that there's any disagreement, is there, since it was developed at budget?
On the URAs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean,
we're not done with this book here.
I don't believe that there is. I mean, isn't it pretty much aligned with the recommendations of the subcommittee, the URAs?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think
the only areas are the economic development stuff outside of the URAs, right?
I would say by 4 o'clock today, I think we can get through all the URA pieces and be ready to go and just kind of waiting for the city piece to finalize and move forward. Because I know Commissioner Adams has some additional points that we can take care of.
In URAs?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I just heard, I'm telling you, I don't think there's any major changes in the staff recommended changes. There are some issues with Burnside Cooch Couple, which we'll get to in the last tabs on this. And the second tab is the general fund. And what I'm actually hearing from this group, if I've got that right, is it probably wouldn't be worthwhile to go through these changes because those will probably change. But I just want to point out, if you want to look at these do reflect the mayor's allocation and his budget and where the changes would come from what you passed out as the budget work group earlier this year, okay?
So is the first page after tab 2, and it says proposed, is that inclusive of the first number 1 section?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Right. It is. And so I think what we ought to do is go to 3, which is really where I think where you really have some questions, Commissioner Adams. And if you want to take this some more?
Sure. Version 3 includes all the staff recommended changes and the trip to the mayor's proposed budget. But it also includes a change for a river district based on several recommendations. It includes different timing assumptions earlier timing assumptions for the streetcar project in the River District, as well as the preliminary engineering numbers for Burnside Couch Couplet in River District. We also...
Bill Hoffman, are you in the room?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can you come up here? Sit here.
So in focusing on the...
the chair. Keep talking.
Chris, I'm just going to join you.
Bring a chair, Chris. Sorry.
So focusing on the changes that affect next fiscal year, 08-09, and looking at both Central East Side and River District, we don't have any changes other than the staff recommended changes for moving some dollars out in Central East Side. But we do have changes in fiscal year 9-10 for Central East Side. I think the best place to look is your tab. It says version 3 supplemental Central East Side, the Central East Side budget.
Do you have copies of these?
Keith is going to.
And this includes the five-year budget for Central East Side.
Are you familiar with our assumptions on streetcar for the Central East Side?
No, but Greg Jones is here, and he can address those.
Greg, could you pull up a chair, too? Soon we'll have the entire management team at PDOT at the table. We're ready now.
Thanks. To focus on this five-year forecast, what we've done is incorporate in fiscal year 9-10, that's the third column, an extra $4 million in that year. You can see that highlighted in the blue for the Burnside Couch Couplet. So you have a total project cost, which includes this fiscal year and next fiscal year's allocation of just around $15 million. For everything, I believe. We're just short of $15 million. We also have different timing assumptions for some of the projects. You can see those items in red. For example, the Burnside Bridgehead development project's been pushed out, but the property sale revenue for that up above, you can see there's a $7 million figure. That was in 8-9, fiscal year 8-9. We've pushed that out as well into fiscal year 9-10. The bottom line here is that we're balanced in fiscal year 08-09, but if you look down at the ending fund balance for fiscal year 9-10, we're out of balance by about $13 million in total. And that includes a current allocation for the streetcar in 9-10 of about $3.2 million, and then the full $13.5 for Birdside.
Is that saying that we're overspending in 08? Why do you go from balance to... negative 13.
We don't have the tax increment resources in our five-year projection to accommodate for that level of spending.
In 1 year.
So this is a case in point, Mayor, of what you were referring to. The urban renewal area has the worst problem in terms of cash flow. And what that means, because we cannot have a $13 million negative next year, we will have to adjust this budget next year based on, again, project readiness, but also probably push some of these projects out, like maybe the Burnside Bridgehead development project needs to be shoved out another year, at least to be able to get to those many of these projects in that year, the 9-10, not the next year that we're talking about, but the year after that.
Team.
What are the colors designated again? The red and the blue.
Need you guys to speak up.
The red colors represent staff recommended changes of moving some dollars out. The blue represents a change in the overall funding for the Burnside.
How does it impact Burnside or the cost of the
went from approximately $10 million to $14 million over the total plan.
So regarding the East Burnside Couch Couplet, the $13,450,000 fiscal year 09-10 works for us because that's when we will need the money. We'll actually issue the contract, start construction in 09. So we can advance payments, the initial payments on that contract using other funds and then we would use the TIF funds in the fiscal year that you have it budgeted.
Right. And to make it more clear, in order to meet this, make this balance next year, we probably have to look at things like Burnside Bridgehead moving out. We probably have to look to even zeroing out some of the economic development or housing projects to get to those projects and meet the cash flow of those. Of those demands or those project demands.
And the we costed this project, the couplet project, based on the start date. Is that right? We factored in, if we started a particular year, that's, we have to factor in the intervening inflationary rate. So can you just go through for the mayor and the audience what the year and the price tag of the project would be?
Sure. Very simply, we did our, and this is just a function of escalating cost as a result of the interest. The starting in 2006, when we did the cost estimate, it was a $20,000 project, $20 million project. When we projected out to 2009, which is our scheduled start date, it is a $23 million project. If we start the project in 2010, it adds just a little bit less than $1 million onto the cost of the project, and it keeps moving forward in that. So there's there clearly are costs associated with delaying the project.
I guess the other obvious question is how realistic, or is it realistic to have the new bridgehead, I guess by 09 it would be, have a new bridgehead development scheme, strategy?
Clearly I have no faith in that year at this time. Mm-hmm. So that is one that I think is pretty obvious in terms of building to move out. But I just, again, what it points out, again, you have to make some pretty hard choices next year to be able to get to these. And so I think we have some hard work to do to try to figure out how to balance that. And then we'll also be looking at any savings we can get this year and the next year in 08, 09, to, as the mayor pointed out, to save so we have a less of a hole in 9, 10.
If we didn't do the couplet, we would be in balance, right? And if the bridgehead doesn't come through, we would be ahead of the game for that year. Is that accurate?
Just want to point out. Yeah. The property sale revenue that's tied in 9-10 is a big resource right now for $7 million. If that,
that's the bridgehead.
Yeah, so right. they go together. That's what he's pointing out. There could be a year change, but our hope is to sell that land to a developer, get that cash back in, which is part of our revenues. And so it's not quite as simple as that, I guess.
So if we don't sell the land, then and we went forward with the couplet, we would be $20 million in the hole.
Without changes in the expenditures, yes, next year.
I think here's a situation where the folks that originally Opus wanted the couplet in before they would start construction. So to me, that would be a higher priority than the bridgehead.
You got, is that still your thinking?
Yeah, I think the Burnside Cooch couplet on the east side needs to be done. It's integral to the redevelopment of that area and clearly integral to the redevelopment of the Burnside Bridgehead project.
Would that include the streetcar, the 13? So that's just the change in the street scape.
Commissioner, I might add that the numbers Chris and Bill gave you were based upon a 4% inflation cost for construction. Actually, it's running around the 12%, the ODOT construction cost index for this year. So we're getting a spike. It's difficult to say whether that'll drop down, but right now it's continuing up.
So one thing I'd be interested in hearing, obviously, are you presenting this problem, or have you already presented this problem to the advisory committee?
Yes, it's been discussed at the advisory committee. It's been discussed at the budget work group.
What was
Well, I think everybody's decided that we needed to present the out of budget balance so people understood the ramifications, but also just start positioning ourselves to make some hard decisions in future years. And I think it's difficult when you start talking about some of the economic development programs that are really key to the tax generation in that particular area.
So we don't have a problem next fiscal year after.
Exactly.
Keith, did you want to add something?
Are you talking about the Citizen Advisory Committee? Yeah, I think there's some members of the Advisory Committee here. Clearly, you know, when they looked at their budgets, particularly at the, you know, the extension, they had fixed amount of resources for different projects. And, you know, the more that goes, they support projects,